But as we come to the preaching of God's word, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. This morning, we will be looking at verses 1 through 6. This is Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. If you're using your Pew Bible, you can find this on page 1277. We hear now the living word of God. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. We are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and are boasting in our hope. May the Lord bless the reading and now also the preaching of our word, of his word. In these opening chapters of Hebrews, as the author of the Hebrews is showing how Jesus is the pinnacle. He's great. He's majestic. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He's the one who has shed his blood for the sins of his people, to make propitiation for our sins. He is our great high priest. And here the author begins talking about how he is greater than Moses, the one who pointed to Christ that is to come. And as we consider this contrast between Jesus Christ and Moses, there is, at the close of these verses, a call for us to hold fast, and to hold fast to our confidence and our boasting in our hope. And this is the message that I want us to come away with this morning, is for you and I in our daily lives, regardless of what may be pulling us away or what kind of distressing things we may be facing or considering, to hold fast and to our confidence and boasting in our hope. And as we consider this application, we'll be looking at it in three points. First of all, the Son is worthy of honor because he is faithful in his Father's house. And then secondly, because the Son is faithful, hold fast your confidence of hope. And thirdly, because the Son is faithful, hold fast your boast of hope. So first of all, the Son is worthy of honor because he is faithful in his Father's house. Now, as Jesus and Moses are contrasted here, it is pointed out that Moses is a servant. Now Moses, in verse 5, was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. So the contrast that we have between Moses and the Christ is one of a servant versus a son. Now although Moses was a servant in God's house, he still had a privileged position. And this is seen in Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 to 9. In Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 to 9, we have a situation where Moses' brother and his sister become jealous and envious of Moses in the position that he has. And we read in verse 1 of Numbers 12, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. And suddenly the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron and Miriam, "Come out, you three, to the tent of meeting." And the three of them came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forward. And he said, "Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly, and not in riddles. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" The anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. You know, children, if you are doing something that you know you're not supposed to do, and then all of a sudden from another part of the house you hear your parents say your name and maybe your brothers and sisters' name and say, "Come up here." I think we have all experienced that in our childhood, in our life, in some way, shape, or form. And we can all understand the fear and trepidation that fills our hearts when those things happened. Imagine being Aaron and Miriam and hearing the voice of God tell you two and with your brother to come to his tent. God says that truly Moses is a servant. He is a servant who is faithful in all his house, but there was still the privileged position that Moses had. God spoke with him plainly. He didn't speak to him in visions and dreams, but he spoke to him. Moses heard his voice, and he spoke to him plainly. Now, as we consider the work that Moses has done, as the author of the Hebrews says here, that to testify to the things that were to be spoken later, Moses functioned as a prophet. He even, as Deuteronomy unfolds and Moses is giving kind of his last words to the people of Israel, he tells them plainly that they're going to fall away. I mean, he tells them plainly that they will fail and that they will be sent into exile. And this is before they even enter the promised land, and Moses is telling them of these things. And so Moses was one of a servant who was faithfully proclaiming God's word to his people. And that is what is meant by God's house. God's house is a covenant people. God's house is Israel. And Moses was sent to God's people by God, and he was a representative of the people before God. We see that played out in the book of Exodus especially, about how God comes down on the mountain. The people say, "Moses, you go. Otherwise, God is going to destroy us." And then when the people stumble and they fall and they build for themselves idols of gold to worship them, God says he's going to destroy the people, and yet Moses pleads on their behalf and says, "No, don't destroy them." And so we see in Moses pictured what we call a mediator. He was a man chosen by God, a faithful servant in the house of God, among the people of God, to stand in the gap between God and his people. He was a representative of God to the people in giving them the law and giving them the commands and giving them various judgments. But then he also stood in the place of the people before God and pled their case. Jesus, as the author to the Hebrews points out in verse 3, is the apostle and high priest of our confession. You see, Moses also was an apostle, because an apostle really means one that is sent. And Moses functioned in this way as one, he was sent by God to be this in this position. And Jesus, though, is the ultimate. He is the ultimate apostle. He is the ultimate high priest. He is the one who all those who were sent by God pointed to. And he is also the one through whom every high priest pointed to. He is the one whom God has sent to represent God before his people. And he is the one who has been established as high priest to represent God's people before him. He is our apostle and high priest. Now, Moses as a servant, he was worthy of honor. And that's what God points out in Numbers chapter 12. I mean, God says to Miriam and Aaron, he points out how he interacts with Moses and Moses' position. And he says, how is it that you dared to speak a word against my servant? He had this position of a privilege, of authority that God had given to him. Well, Moses as a servant had this position, and so the argument is, how much more then is Jesus worthy of a greater honor, who isn't just a servant, but he is the Son? And he is the Son who isn't just among the people, he is a Son who owns the house. You see, the servant would be given charge over the house as one who was kind of brought up amongst it, but the Son is the one who owns everything. He has this position of ownership over all things. And he is not thus the one who is owning it, but he is the one who is building. As Jesus Christ is the faithful builder of God's church. Now, how was Jesus faithful? Well, Jesus was faithful as he came to fulfill the calling that God had placed upon him in obedience, in fulfilling all the requirements that were given to us. As we broke the covenant and the various requirements and laws that were given to us as God's people, Jesus came and fulfilled all things. And he was faithful in obedience to the point of death. He was faithful in obedience to laying down his life and shedding his blood. As Paul argued in the Areopagus, the faithfulness of the Son, the faithfulness of Jesus the Christ was seen in that he was raised from the dead. He was satisfied all that was set before him. And because of what Jesus has done, because of what he is doing as the one who is the mediator between God and his people, he is worthy of worship. He is worthy of honor. Moses, a servant who was frail and stumbled and fell himself, was worthy of honor because of his faithfulness in the house. How much more then is Jesus, the faithful high priest and apostle of God's people? So let us, brothers and sisters, give Jesus the worth of honor that he is due and the glory that he is due. Now, this faithfulness of the Son leads us to kind of the final sentence here that the author gives us in verse 6. And we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence in boasting in our hope. Now, as we consider this sentence, as Jesus here being far greater than Moses and worthy of more honor because he is more faithful in his house, it leads us to a call to hold fast then this confession and this confidence that we have in Christ. Now, as the author says here, if we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. If indeed. He writes as if it's a question of whether or not we will hold fast. But as we consider this question, and we'll answer that more as we draw this message to a conclusion, I first want to address the issue of what does it mean to hold fast? What does it mean to hold fast to something? Now, for you kids, I want you to think about those words. What does it mean, children, to hold fast? What does it mean to hold fast? Well, what happens if one of your siblings tries to take a toy that you want? Or what happens if maybe your baby brother has a toy that he's not supposed to have, and your parents ask you to go get that toy from him? What does he do? Or she. I won't name any names. They put as powerful of a grip on it as possible. They're seizing it. They're arresting it. They're holding fast. And this is a picture for us. So kids, next time that happens to you, I want you to think about that. That level of holding on and grasping something is a level of energy exerted that we are called to here to hold fast, to seize, to arrest something, to hold it tight. And what are we called to hold fast to? We're called to hold fast to two things, both related to hope. And the first is our confidence of hope. Our confidence of hope. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, there Peter, after he gives his introduction to the letter, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time." This living hope that Peter talks about is the same hope that the author to the Hebrews is talking about. It is a living hope. It is a hope that brings life. You know, we use the word hope as an uncertainty. Hopefully we'll be able to do this. Hopefully we'll be able to do that. Hopefully I'll be able to have this or fulfill this goal that I have in mind in my life. That level of uncertainty that we attach to the word hope is not what is meant by hope in the scriptures. It is a hope that is living, that is active. It is a hope that is sure. That is without question. There is no uncertainty in it. Because it is a hope that is founded upon the work and the faithfulness of the Son in his house. It is a hope that is founded upon the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as our Jesus Christ was faithful in all that he did, as he accomplished everything that he was sent to do, as he did not waver in any way, shape, or form, but he faithfully did all that he was called to do, that is what we are to set our hope on. The word confidence is a word that means to have a firm trust. We have a firm trust in the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. The firm trust that we are called to have in this hope is not a firm trust in anything that we see in this life. It's not to be in anything found in this particular country, in this particular state or city. It's not to be placed upon anything that we have in this world. The confidence that we are called to have and that we are called to hold on to, that we are called to hold fast to and to seize and to arrest, is a confidence in a hope that is in the heavenly places. The house in which Jesus is building, this living temple, these living stones, this glory that he has been exalted to, this is the foundation of our hope. And this is why we are called to hold fast to this confidence. This is why we can have confidence in it. Everything in this life, it fades away. You know, everything in this life fades away. You know, back before May of 1980, you know, people looked at Mount St. Helens and thought it was a pretty solid, sure mountain. And we look today at Mount Rainier, and we think, that's a big mountain. But hopefully, as we can also realize that Mount St. Helens is not far from Mount Rainier, that the certainty of Mount Rainier is not so certain. I was taught in a chemistry class, an undergrad chemistry class, that even given enough time, diamonds themselves will revert back to coal. I don't know, the scientist among us, you can say whether or not my chemistry teacher was true or not. But those symbols of power, of certainty that we have around us are fading. They are falling away. The only thing that we are to have confidence in, the only thing we are to have a firm trust in, to hold fast to, the only hope is in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the question for each of us is, what are we placing our confidence in? What are we holding fast to? What are we having a firm trust in? If we look at the troubles, the anxieties that we have in life, I think the majority of them come from a taking our eyes off of the firm hope that we have in Christ. The upheaval of our world at this time and the uncertainty of our own societies, of our own city. We've had a prayer request this morning regarding our own city and the uncertainty in our own town. Anxieties can breed when we take our eyes off the sure foundation and faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why we are called to hold fast our confidence and hope. And so, brothers and sisters, because the Son is faithful, we have confidence of a living hope. Thirdly, because the Son is faithful, hold fast your boast of hope. Now, having confidence in this living hope that Christ has, in his faithfulness, has accomplished for us, has given us, you know, having confidence in that and a firm trust in that, that makes sense. But what does it mean to hold fast to our boast of hope, or our boasting in hope? What does it mean that a person is boastful? If we describe someone with the adjective that they are a boastful person, we mean by that they talk a lot about themselves. They puff themselves up. They commend themselves, and they talk about how great they are. They are a boastful person. Scripture calls us to boast in the Lord. To not boast in who we are and what we've done, to boast in our Lord Jesus Christ, in what he has done. So when we consider what does it mean to boast in our hope, well, as the boastful person talks a lot about how great they are, I believe when we're called to boast about our hope, it's a call to boast about the hope that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ and what Jesus has done for us. To talk about how great he is. To talk about the majesty that he possesses. To talk about the glory that he is. That he is our God, the creator of heaven and earth. That he is our Redeemer, our Savior. The one who has shed his blood for us. The God who, because his people are not able to save themselves, that no one is able to save themselves, he himself laid down his life after living obediently the law that he gave. We are called here to hold fast to our boasting in our hope. To boast in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things about our city here in Seattle is it's one of, you know, the least churched cities in the United States, meaning, you know, per capita it has the least number of churches. And the churches that are in our town are kind of a mixed bag of what they proclaim. So what that means is that the city in which we live, the majority of the population is one that rejects Christ. It's one that rejects Jesus. What is the hope that our city has and is looking to? Whether there are those who have no religion, who say there is no religion, there is no true or false religion at all, or whether it's a false religion. And what ultimately is the hope that they have to look forward to? And again, what is our hope? What is the hope that we have been given? What are the promises that God's people have been given? What is the word that God has given us? That he will come again. That he will take us to himself. That he will make a new heaven and a new earth. That the pain and the suffering will be no more of this life. That his people will be with him in glory forever. That they will, the victory that he is giving them, that he is giving us, that he is giving you and me, will be made complete as we are glorified in his presence. This is what we have to look forward to. Now, brothers and sisters, as we consider this holding fast to our boast of hope, of calling out and proclaiming this message of the gospel, of giving a reason for the hope that is within us, as Peter also says, as we consider the city in which we live, are you and I boasting as we should? Are you and I proclaiming as we should? Is our life matching the confession that we make with our mouths? Are we proclaiming the greatness of our Lord to those who are around us? Are we seizing the opportunities that are given to tell people about this Christ, about what God has done? We of any religious group, we of any religious group have all the more reason to boast. To boast about what God has done. Consider what God has done. In sending his Son to lay down his life for his sheep. No other God, no other false God has done such a marvelous thing. And this is what our God has done for us. And so we are called to boast in our hope. Now again, going back to kind of the beginning of this phrase, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast. We are his house. We are his people. We are, as Moses served faithfully in God's house, the covenant people of God in Israel, we are God's people. And the Son has served faithfully in his house. Now, if indeed, as the author writes, it's a phrase that could cause us some anxiety. Can I fall away? Can I lose what God has given me? Can I lose what God has promised me? Well, the answer is, brothers and sisters, no. If we are in his house, if we are his people, we cannot. Because the holding fast here is not tied to our strength. The holding fast here is not tied to our abilities. This whole passage is in the context of pointing out the faithfulness of the Son. The faithfulness of Jesus. The faithfulness of the Christ in his house. He is the one who is building his house. He is the one who is faithfully performing all the duties that are required within that house. And so our hope is not tied to any ability that we have. Our hope is tied by looking to the Son and what he has accomplished in his faithfulness, in his work. I believe what the author of the Hebrews is doing and constructing this passage in this way and emphasizing the faithfulness of the Son. As we come to that phrase, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and boasting in our hope, that hope rests in the work of this faithful Son. And it calls us to remember what Jesus has done for us and to turn and look to what He has done and what He is doing and the promises that He has made. It's because the call is not to place any confidence in our abilities, and the call is not to boast in anything that we do or are capable of, but the call is to put our confidence, our firm trust, and to boast in the hope that we have only in Jesus Christ. So it is not our faithfulness that we are to hold fast to. In the end, we are to hold fast to the faithfulness of the Son and the promises that He has made, that He will lose none that the Father has given Him. And so, brothers and sisters, because the Son is faithful, because He is faithful in all His house and what the Father has sent Him to do, let us hold fast, let us hold firm the confidence and boast of our hope in the Son. Amen. Our gracious Father, we thank You for the work of the Son, for His faithfulness in all Your house. May You, in Your grace, enable us to hold fast the confidence and boast of hope we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.